This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, what's the easiest way to find out what channel the game's on? Sports on What? Subscribe to the Sports on What app and quickly find the channel for every provider, satellite, cable, or streaming. Sports on What knows the channel the game is on and you can too. Download today.
99.9 KISW. The shenanigans continue. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Opening day tomorrow. Join us for a live broadcast. Absolutely free. Pioneer Tacos and Tequilas. That is down on Occidental. We'll be down there from 2 until 6. Live Big Dummy, the head chef in the house, with tacos and tequila.
Yes!
And, of course, opening day baseball. If you're headed down the stadium, stop in tomorrow between 2 and 6. Our question, Mother Nature was to blame when blank happened. 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Dwayne. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
I was in Big Sky, Montana, in the middle of summer. Thunderstorm came in. I was up on top, coming down. Lightning hit right in front of me. I about crapped my pants.
Yep, that's about the right response. So you were coming down. You were coming down the mountain. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I think you lift up and then you'll hike down. I was on very top. I was coming down. Lightning struck right in front of me, blinded me and made me deaf, and I ran as fast as I could down that mountain.
Wow, yeah. Look, man, when that stuff comes in, it comes in fast.
I was going to say, how fast did it roll in there? You know, I'm not used to Montana weather. I mean, did it come in like Oklahoma quick?
Yeah, it was fast. It was just, I got it from nowhere. It just came in.
That's so weird, man. You know, just like living here, we've been hearing about this impending storm for the last couple of days now, right? And they'll show you footage of places like Oklahoma, Kansas, whatever. And you know it's tornado season. It's not that, but like the sky is blue, kids are playing outside, and instantly the sky is black, and you see funnel clouds. I'm like, that happened in like 30 freaking seconds.
Man. It happens fast. And I mean, those thunderstorms, too. I mean, you remember living in Maryland. And there was one summer where I swear to God, our Babe Ruth team, right? You played Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday.
All right.
Every Tuesday, you'd go. You knew storms were coming, but you still had to warm up and everything. Right before first pitch, skies would open up, game would get canceled.
Yeah.
But it was like 5 weeks in a row. I remember looking, I think my brother was coaching us. I was like, Chris, why are we bothered to show up? He's like, well, it might not rain. It's like, all right.
But it depends where you live, too. We were in Miami. This is years ago, and it had been hot and humid all day, which is par for the course of Miami. But we're walking outside, skies turn jet black. And it just dumps rain. Me and my wife are like, you've got to be kidding me. So at first, we're jogging down the street. But everyone else, they kind of pulled the shirt up a little bit. Mm-hmm. But they're like, don't run, man. It'll be done in 10 minutes. And I swear to God, I mean, like 10 minutes on the mark. It stopped. The sky was blue. And with the exception of the humidity, you kind of dried off before you got to the next place you're going.
But it everyone usually cools it off a little bit.
Yeah.
Like one of the hottest tailgates, the hottest days ever was Knoxville, right? This was Labor Day weekend. This was years ago. But, I mean, it was so hot and obnoxious. But as we're walking in, again, Bernie just goes, storm's coming. And, I mean, again, we're in there. Then they clear the stadium. And, like, these pathless thunderstorms had canceled college football. But, like, once we got back into the stadium after the game, it wasn't cool, but it was cooler.
Right.
And you kind of adjust. Mm-hmm.
Mother Nature was to blame when blank happened. 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Natty. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, Bichola.
Hola.
What's going on? So, my story, growing up in the rural parts of South Woodby there in the Goss Lake area, in the early 90s, I don't know if you guys thought, yeah. In the early 90s, we used to get hellacious windstorms, and we're in the middle of a forest out there. 5 years in a row on Thanksgiving Day, every year from the, I think from 89 to 94, we had super big windstorms, lightning and all that. Well, knocked the power out. And happened to be right when we're cooking our Thanksgiving turkey. I guess you not. We had to scavenge and scrounge for what leftovers we could get out of the fridge before things started going bad, because this power would go out for, I don't know, 2-3 days, maybe 5 days before they got everything back up where we were located. But yeah, I just remember that Thanksgiving, eating leftovers, dry sandwiches, you know. But it used to be a lot more consistent around here weather wise with our snow and in the wind. But now we just don't know what to expect these days. Yeah.
Did you have generators back then, or does everyone have generators now?
We eventually got a generator. I mean, but and that's kind of what prompted it. Like, we can't go through another year of Thanksgiving dinner being, you know, put to bed a little earlier than needed. We're never able to salvage the turkey either.
Dang.
So, you know, it just got tossed, you know, midstream. So what are you going to do, right?
Jesus. Did you have other family members there, or was it just your immediate family?
Mostly immediate family. We did generally a bigger family dinner at grandma's, you know, the night before or over the course of the weekend. But, yeah, it was a real bummer, man, because those leftover turkey sandwiches is where it's at. That's my favorite part.
Well, I still feel like there's always some good storms right before Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I remember there's snow on the ground out here 1 year on Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember. That's my favorite meal of the year, though. Of all the ones. I know it's basic, but I love it. I look forward to that more than anything else.
Well, Thanksgiving, like we always say, again, there's no pressure of gifts or this or that.
It's food and football.
It's just right. It's just a simple holiday for everybody.
Yeah. When lightning used to come on the East Coast, it would come just roaring across the plains. By the time I got to the Appalachian Mountains, it is ready to take off and go over top of those mountains, which typically means it's going to dump rain. And when you think about, you know, the Olympic Peninsula and how the rain shadow works,
right?
It's very similar to that. I mean, the clouds need to rise above the mountains. They dump the rain. If you're on the west side of the mountains,
you get all the rain.
You're absolutely going to get hammered. I'm playing a golf course in West Virginia. We are on the west side of the mountain. A storm blows in quick. We are on the ninth hole, all right? The ninth hole. We figure we would just finish this last hole and go to the clubhouse, wait the storm out. We're good to go. We pull underneath a tree in our golf cart. I get out, my buddy gets out, and now it's starting to pour down rain. And the next thing you know, I wake up, and I'm on the ground. And I wake up.
Yeah.
And I sit up, and I go, oh, God, you know, where am I? What is going on? And I look over, and my two buddies are laying down on the ground underneath the tree as well. I look up, the tree is on fire. The tree had been hit and split, but where we were standing, we were also standing on the root system. So that kind of blew us up a little bit. Now, I've told the story before, but my one buddy, Rob, he was kind of like the highfalutin golf player at the time. He was wearing metal spikes.
Yeah.
And he took the brunt of that shot. I'm sure we all were equal as far as what we got.
But you weren't wearing metal.
I was not wearing metal spikes. I was wearing tennis shoes. Now, he got it pretty bad. He was pretty messed up.
Is he the one who was just kind of never the same again?
No, he was fine. Yeah, okay. From what I understand, he was perfectly fine. Then my buddy Brian woke up. And then I look up, and there are 5 or 6 golf carts racing down the hill. Every single person who was waiting the storm out up in the clubhouse, as they were looking down, because the last hole went up the hill toward the clubhouse, they all saw us got hit by lightning. So now they're rushing down there, and they are freaking out. Not only that, the tree is still on fire.
Yeah,
by the way.
Yeah.
The tree is on fire, and it is split. So there's a big chunk of the tree that looks like at any moment it's going to fall. So we pull the golf cart out of there. We wake up Rob. We get to the clubhouse. We take Rob to the hospital. We finish the round there. And then Rob's parents met us at the hospital. He ended up being discharged later on that afternoon. He was fine. This was a Sunday afternoon, Sunday midday. So my buddy and I are like, you know what? The hell? And it was not football season or anything like that. Yeah. There's no reason to be in a bar at 11 o'clock on a Sunday morning. But we decided to go to Mario's Fishbowl to drink our craziness away and the fact that we survived. And it was just a weird situation. So, of course, we go to the bar, sit down, and there are 2 girls beside us. And my buddy Brian starts hitting on the girl beside him. I'm on the far side. I'm far away from the two girls. So anyway, he starts talking to this one chick, blah, 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 blah. Brian gets up. He's going to go use the phone. He's going to go call his mom. This is before the days of cell phones. He's going to tell her what happened. Rest assured, everything's going to be okay, blah, 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 blah. But, I mean, it's one of those things. It's like, strangely enough, it's like if you had a baby, you just want to tell everybody.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Same thing with getting hit by lightning. Because you're alive, you just want to tell everybody what happened. Like, he was just talking to the girl beside him, Beth, most of the time, just about how the lightning, you know, he just woke up. Like, you know, the whole story, basically what I went through, he was just repeating the same thing. He gets up to go and call his mom. She starts talking to me. The next thing I know, we end up going to me and her end up going to a different bar that night. And partying continuously through the evening. Then I ended up staying at her house that night, and then we got married.
Yep. Lightning killed your single life, man.
It really did. That was probably the strangest thing that's ever happened to me, based on the fact that. And then on my second wedding,
I was about to say, dude, you have a thing with lightning. Those storms.
It's a warning.
It really is a warning that I did not heed.
I mean, literally.
Let's try again, Miles.
So you're right. Both your wives are Jewish.
Don't think I didn't think about that.
So if nobody's ever been to a Jewish wedding, they stomp on the glass.
Yeah.
The guy says Mazel Tov. Everybody cheers. The glass sounded so loud, it's like he stomped on it, that it was like thunder right after.
Yeah,
right at the beginning of the reception, it was like, Jesus Christ, it was scary out
there. Yes, it was. It was terrible.
How many different ways can I send you a message, Miles?
Okay, where would you guys think the safest place is? All right.
I'm trying.
He is trying. He did try.
I'm trying to save your money.
Dude, don't go to a bar tonight. All right, just don't.
To hail the lightning.
Yeah, there's got to be lightning.
Get married.
Drive home, park your car, sit your ass in the house.
Yeah, I don't. Someone could have a gun to my head and basically say, would you ever get married again or I'm going to kill you right now? Just like, just shoot me.
Oh, I doubt it.
Shoot me.
You better stay home.
We'll see.
Shoot me. Stay home.
It's cheaper.
You know what? I'm going to call that place you like. Be like, if you see him in there, you throw him out tonight.
Throw him out, man.
So, okay, where would you guys say in the United States of America would be the safest place to live in the event of trying to avoid a natural disaster?
Does include weather, earthquakes, tsunamis.
Well, it's Mother Nature. So, you know, like if you're in Arizona, it's going to be extreme heat. There could definitely be drought. There are haboobs. There are dust storms. There are all kinds of things that can be affected in those areas.
What if, say, Montana?
You gonna go Montana?
Oh, the weather out there is wild, dude.
The weather's wild, and look, there's not a lot of people, therefore there's not a lot of infrastructure.
And I know that it's close to Yellowstone. There's some of Yellowstone in Montana.
Wait a minute, Yellowstone is the biggest volcano on the North American
that
continent.
Is right. So I'm not worried issue. About it, but I would not call that safe.
I mean, we've had to pull over in Montana because a storm came up on us that quick.
Okay,
I think that's somewhere like something like earthquakes, tornadoes, bad ice storms. Hurricane.
Maine.
Rain. Right, I'm trying to go. But Maine in the wintertime, dude. Right, they just call it a nor'easter. And a nor'easter is just a wintertime hurricane. So instead of rain, it's snow. So you don't get flooding. But, I mean, your city's pretty much decimated. I'm going to guess like...
I mean, just seriously, where would you move?
I know, I'm trying. If it's just about avoiding natural disaster, bad nature, I'm going to say probably... Your home neck of the woods, somewhere like West Virginia.
I would go like Minnesota or Wisconsin.
Minnesota. Okay. And when you think about like Las Vegas, a lot of people like to retire there.
Heat,
Mike,
man.
Mike, how many times have you been in a foot of water in Vegas?
A couple times.
That's what I'm saying. Like even someplace like that where you think in areas that have that hard ground, the water does not soak in or saturate into the soil, so you have flash flooding.
Right.
Which is the case a lot of the times in an area like, you say, well, Palm Springs. Okay, well, that's great until the rain comes, and then it floods.
That's what I think, similar like West Virginia. Like, most of the things that go wrong there, to me, seem like it's man-made. But I don't hear about a lot of fires. I don't hear about, I mean, there's flooding, but it's because it's all been strip-mined and all that.
Yep.
But yeah, I feel like that part of the country seems to avoid hurricanes. Maybe occasional flooding. Don't hear much about forest fires. Don't hear about earthquakes.
You could say Anchorage, Alaska. But you look at the storms up there and the fact that there's a volcano that's about ready to blow at any moment.
I mean, I also think what kind of weather are you willing to deal with? Because the nor'easters that make it to Cape Cod or Maine are so rare. You could deal with shoveling snow. That would be pretty good.
Mm-hmm. But, hey, say, one of the safest places in the United States when it comes to natural disasters, believe it or not, is Virginia.
I was close.
At least some of the Old Dominion cities are, anyway, according to a new assessment. The home services site, Home Gnome, wanted to see which U.S. cities were safest or best prepared when it comes to Mother Nature wreaking havoc. So it took a look at 500 cities across the nation and using metrics in five distinct categories. Hazard risk, vulnerable populations, vulnerable infrastructure, in other words, earthquakes,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
things of that nature, evacuation transports, and response and recovery. Now, we know that we are in a very high earthquake zone.
Sure.
Here in Washington and in Oregon. Now, the Virginia city of Lynchburg was found to be the best of the bunch in terms of natural disaster safety and preparedness.
I'd rather risk it. I've been there.
And they boast three of the other top cities in the 10 safest list. So the safest cities in the United States against Mother Nature's wrath, Lynchburg, Virginia, number one.
All right.
Roanoke, Virginia, number two, which is an S-hole.
Which is kind of ironic.
Why is that?
Because that was the first, one of the first settled, I guess, Jamestown.
Oh, right, yeah. Everyone yeah, disappeared.
Like, man, like, good call, guys.
Auburn, Alabama, number three.
Oh, God.
Have you been to Auburn, Alabama?
No.
I have.
But it's like the country school for Alabama.
It is.
Sorry.
Yeah.
That puts it in perspective.
That's just an honest reaction.
Yeah. God.
Damn. Well, the campus is absolutely beautiful.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A campus.
Look, my nephew is having a blast at Ole Miss. I have no desire. I want to go to see a football game. Don't want to live there. I know a lot of Cougs that had a blast at Pullman. They don't live there.
Did you have fun at LSU?
Again, great.
Ted,
you
want
to go to Matt Baton Rouge to live? Like, no, one of Bernie's brothers, I remember, he said, I'm moving to Baton Rouge. I said, Matt, you ever been to Baton Rouge? He's like, no. But the economy, this and that, the taxes. Yeah. I said, all right, have at it. Him and his wife didn't last a year.
Not a year.
Yeah, they moved back. And yeah. I mean, they bought a house. I was like, you're insane. Like, you got to go see that.
What did he say was the worst part of living there?
Being there. Being present.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Everything about it's bad, man. It's a horrible.
It's a college town, but then it's more like Norfolk.
Right.
Oh, okay. All right. Megan, Georgia's on the list. These are the safest cities as far as cities that are the safest.
They're safe because nobody lives there.
Against Mother Nature's wrath.
Macon, Georgia.
Yeah. Bloomington, Indiana. Richmond, Virginia.
All right. Richmond's cool. I like Richmond. That's a fun town.
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
All right. There we go.
Rochester, Minnesota. Round Rock, Texas.
All right. So, again, Pittsburgh, I would say, as long as you could deal with shoveling snow.
Yeah. Yeah, no, yeah. Right, snow is going to be your
base. And most of the least safe cities are either in Florida or California.
Well,
a lot
sure.
of that, Compton's number 474. So you might be wondering.
So wait, Compton also has to worry about Mother Nature.
I mean, like,
I'm just saying, right. So it's already Compton, but you're saying it's dangerous because of nature, not even all the other stuff. All
now, right. As far as the list is concerned, there are a number of cities that are considered safe cities here in Washington State. Pasco, Washington is the 39th safest state city in the United States.
All right. Pasco.
Pasco. Number 41 is Seattle, Washington.
All right.
Followed by Bellingham at 76, Redmond 95, Kirkland 121. You go down, 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 down. Renton, for some reason, is 162nd. Auburn, the 230th. This is where things start to get bad in Washington. Federal Way. Well, is 270. Vancouver's 287. Kennewick, Washington is 320th.
Right.
Tacoma, guys, is 330th.
How is Tacoma so much worse than Seattle?
As far as being safe.
Probably Lahars.
Also, you have to...
Yeah, that's
a Mount Rainier blows. Yep. Like, it's not going to get all the way up to here.
What is the most unsafe
city? It's got to go through Auburn to get to Tacoma.
It's like Klamath
Falls. In the state of Washington?
In the state of Washington.
I would say Puyallup.
Okay.
That's a good guess.
Any other guess? This is the tried and true West Virginia, Mississippi, Alabama.
Enumclaw.
No, it's not.
Oh, what's it like? Yakima?
It's Yakima.
Jeez.
Yakima is 450th on the list.
Yakima.
As far as being keep in mind, they only looked at 500 cities.
That's all.
It's on the other side of the slope over there.
Exactly.
Yeah, they're getting dimed.
Our question, Mother Nature was to blame when blank happened. 206-803-ROCK. Coming up, the return of Who Sucks Less on the way at 4:30. Right after emails on our question, Mother Nature was to blame when blank happened. 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Russ. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, hola.
Hola.
Right out of the gate, I want to say you guys are the S. I'm from Vegas. I grew up down there, and you guys rock.
Oh, thank you, man.
What brought you up here?
Work, and I wanted to get the hell out of the desert.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Fair enough.
Well, you did that.
Yes.
Yes, I did. And talking about some weird weather in 47 years in Vegas, tornadoes, thunderstorms, floods, One year in May, I was working on that new parking structure, like 96 at the airport.
All right.
Black clouds roll in. Temperature drops. Snowflakes the size of Silver Dollars in May and Vegas.
Wow.
How many times did you even see snow in your 47 years in Vegas?
74, 78, snowed like 2 or 3 feet in the middle of town. Snowman, sleds. One time in the middle of the night, it was a whiteout. Street lights lit up the whole thing. We're all about having snowball fights with kids. 99, the 100-year flood hit. Wiped out half the town. Seen a tornado or two out there.
So just about everything imaginable other than a hurricane.
Oh, yeah, by the way, Las Vegas sits on a runoff of San Andreas Fault.
Oh, so it's right there. Okay.
Okay.
So what are the...
We get the earthquakes there, too.
If you live in Vegas, what are the seasonal things you can expect, right? So if you live in the Pacific Northwest, you know when summer hits, we're going to hear about forest fires, right? It gets dry, the lightning strikes, et cetera, like, that's a guarantee. We know it's going to rain basically from November to June, but as a result of that, we know... We're going to deal with mudslides and all that kind of thing. Like, there's things that are just built in no matter where you live. So if you're in Vegas, like, what are the things you can count on?
In the wintertime, it's colder than here. We get more freeze days.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's the winter's up there. I've seen it 17 degrees.
Jesus. Okay.
Wow.
You got to remember, it's Vegas, but you're still high desert.
Yeah,
you're right. You're right.
2,500 feet. It's 2,500 feet above sea level. So it's high desert.
That's right.
Yep. In the summertime, around August, you know, when it's the worst time of year to go there, that's the monsoon season because it actually gets muggy. Clouds roll in. It gets muggier than heck. We get the thunderstorms without rain. So it's just brutal. And if it does rain, well, it's still 120 degrees when it quits raining. So now you're looking at 35-40% humidity with 120 degrees.
Right.
Yeah. Basically now you're steaming.
Yes.
Yeah. My daughter's in Africa right now, and it's summer. And
how hot was it when you went into that safari?
You know what? It wasn't too bad. There was some cloud cover. It wasn't the worst in the world, but you know, I mean, it's still summer down there, and as she would like, it's nonstop rain. It has not stopped raining every single day. It just gets so hot that there's this huge thunderstorm, a lot like Florida.
Right.
Every single day, but it doesn't just dump for 10, 15 minutes. It dumps for hours. So when she's trying to get to school in the morning, she's, you know, showing pictures of her wading through streams that aren't there where there's roads and, you know, helping the kids across.
So they don't cancel school.
They do not cancel school.
They're just like, deal with it. Figure it out.
And they're still in their school attire. Long pants, black shoes, white shirt. So they're still...
In the summer in Africa.
That is correct. Dressed to the nines.
That's just, right, it's just part of it. I think when you live there, you adjust, right?
Like, sure.
I don't know, you ever been to like, right? Like, I've been to South Carolina, but then like, I've been to those barrier islands and stayed out there.
Mm-hmm.
And just every evening, it's going to thunderstorm.
Yeah.
Right. So, but still, I would just think like when you have flooding, and it's like, oh, if you go to school, buddy, you know, 8 years old, it's not like they're walking with their parents. You know, it's just like, here's your lunch, go to school.
Mother Nature was to blame when blank happened. 206-803-ROCK.
So those kids are tougher.
I was going to say, I kind of laugh. And I'm thinking about it now, like, yeah.
Get your galoshes.
Yeah, go. Hello, Brian. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Hey, brothers, I'll make it real quick for you. I don't know if you were here and remember late 80s, early 90s, we had an inaugural day windstorm from hell. And I worked in an apartment complex as a maintenance guy in Federal Way. About 600 apartments, there's 4 or 5 maintenance guys. Guy calls the office and says, hey, man, damn pre-drainage just came down, went through the windshield of my brand new car. So me and the guy go up to check on it. You know, apartments got insurance, they'll probably cover it, right? We go down, sure enough, big windshield, bust. He says, I'll tell you what, I'm moving this car. I don't trust that tree right there. Moves it down 4 or 5 spots. This is a brand new Monte Carlo SS Earnhardt Jr. car. He waited a long time to get. And we hear...
Once again, bedroom colors, here are the 7 words you can't say on the radio. Sucker, mother... And please keep those words in mind when calling. Now back to the program.
You, poop you not.
sorry, guys.
Yeah.
It flattened the car right in front of us. And we looked at the guy like, what? You moved it? You put it there? It's flat. I'm so sorry, sir. I didn't know what to say, but it was highly embarrassing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the craziest storm ever.
You know, it's funny, man. People worry about trees, and my father told me this. I was not alive yet, I guess, when this happened, but he's been a car guy. It saved his money, and he got whatever kind of convertible it is that he wanted. And said it took my mom on a date somewhere. Could not believe just the cherry freaking parking spot they got. Because otherwise, he's like, man, this parking lot is full. It was like, I find one right in front of the business we're going to go to. I park there, no big deal. He goes, it's a tree. But, like, the tree is standing fine. There's no severe weather. And he's like, oh, people worry too much. I don't know. They had dinner or whatever they did. But he said he walked out, like, 2 hours later. The entire car, keep in mind, convertible, inside and outside, covered in bird nests.
Oh, no way.
He's like, the entire car. He's like, I'm not saying there's a few pieces of bird nests in my car. I'm saying from hood to trunk and the entire interior, the windshield, everything is covered in bird nests. It's like, then in that moment, I understood everyone else that came to this particular business knew that already.
Yeah.
It's nobody parked there. So now, anytime I park under a tree, it's always my thought, like, I know I'm going to get some bird ass. I just hope there's not a lot of birds. My father's like, had to be a whole goddamn flock in there.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was. Well, my entire car.
That back to you were saying about making sure you can maybe get your car in tonight because of the possibility of hail.
Yeah.
So there was a hurricane coming, and basically half of my garage was able to be, you could put a car in. It was a two-car garage. So my wife normally parked in the garage. I wanted to get my car inside because it's a hurricane.
Yeah.
So I move a bunch of stuff, stack a bunch of boxes in the corner, wedge that bad boy in there. My car's in there. Good for the night. Hurricane's coming about 11 o'clock at night. I've got to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning to go to work. I wake up 3 o'clock in the morning, don't pay any attention to anything other than my basic routine, which is where are my socks, where are my shoes, I'm half asleep.
Yeah.
Gotta go. Open up the garage door. A tree had fallen across my driveway. Now, it was an oak tree. It was pretty sizable. So as the garage door is going up and I'm looking at this, my neighbor Mark is standing on his porch watching this hurricane come through. He's awake. He's drinking. He's
right.
Know, he's not going to work, whatever the deal is. He's like, hey, man, looks like you're screwed. I'm like, oh, my
Thanks, God. Mark.
Yeah. Mark also had a chainsaw.
Uh-huh.
So at 3 o'clock in the morning, there's a chainsaw going, and I am rolling huge-ass logs. He's cutting them about 2 feet, one and a half foot. I'm rolling them off of the driveway and just enough room to sneak my car through to go to work. But that tree barely missed my house. It was probably no more than 3 or 4 feet away from the garage door. So that thing was right up on it.
But it would have been your car.
It would have been my car if I didn't get in the garage. But just the idea of, you know,
A chainsaw at 3 o'clock in the morning
rolling big-ass logs that probably weighed 300 to 200 pounds.
It's not how you wanted to start your day.
It's not. Mother Nature was to blame when blank happened. 206-803-ROCK.
It is not, yes. Hello, Taylor. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So I got married in 2023, and we had planned to go to Maui for our honeymoon. And we were there when those wildfires happened that took out all of Lahaina.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we were there, and what happened was we arrived on the first day, and then it was the first night, the power went out, and the winds were, like, insane. So we just kind of hung tight, and then there still wasn't power back by the end of the second day. So I told my then wife, I said, well, okay, if it doesn't come back by the third day, we got to go find some food or something, right? We got to try to get out of here. So we did that. There was nothing available on our side of the island, and we were about a mile from Lahaina where the fires were, so we decided to leave.
Were you in Kanapali?
Yeah, that really, really close to that. It was a small resort just outside of there.
All right.
So we left it. We had to go the long way around the island because the roads were closed. We didn't know anything about the fires because everything went down, the power, the electricity. There wasn't radio signals. There was nothing. So when we got to the other side of the island where there was power, we got these text messages from our family like, are you okay? What's going on? And then we found out. We went to the police station. They told us about it again, and they said, hey, you can't go back. We're going to close all the roads. Nobody's going back over there. So we drove around trying to find a place to stay, and, like, the hotels were like stock markets is how I describe them. There were people with tickets screaming to find rooms because all the flights were being diverted.
Right,
so we ended up finding a church, and we stayed with a family who we didn't know and just let us stay there for 10 days until we could catch a flight home.
Did you enjoy the honeymoon at all? Obviously, it started like crap, and then spending 10 days.
I enjoyed the first day.
Okay, day one.
Did you go to Lahaina? I mean, I know you drove through it from the airport, but did you actually go there the day before?
We did on the first day. Yeah, we saw it the day before it burned.
You were there the last day that it was actually there as a town. That is insane.
Yep. That is, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, and we lost everything. We didn't get any refunds, which I don't mean that disparagingly. I mean, it was an awful encounter. And they lost everything.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, our honeymoon was a total flop.
Yeah, are you still married?
Yes, we are still married.
Okay.
And we did a second honeymoon in Cancun a year later.
I was going to say,
I was kidnapped by a group rep
of Mayans. you definitely needed a do-over on that one. And God, what a beautiful town that was. It was.
I remember being there. And it's one of those things, we stayed roughly the same area that he did. And like they recommend you go to Lahaina, hopped on this little bus. I got a tattoo there. Met a chick at a bar that used to live in Kansas. I just remember her because she recommended the tattoo place because her boyfriend's a guy that owned it. But anyway, everyone was really cool. There's that big ass tree in the square.
Yep.
And I remember looking at that and actually being... And
that survived.
That's where we did our the submersible thing, the submarine tour. It was all in Lahaina. But the one thing we took away when we left, I'm like, that's a cool little town. Mm-hmm. Right? So when all these fires broke out and you just saw the... how bad it was in the devastation. My wife's pointing like, that pile of rubble was the bar we were at. That's where the tattoo shop was. But I'm so glad the tree survived. It sounds stupid, but like, aren't there something?
Right.
Right?
Yep. I was, so in Fremont, unfortunately, one of the regulars in Fremont, he passed away a few months back. And Benny was a stone stacker. So he was
Benny,
an artist in his own right, but he would stack stones in Fremont. He was, you didn't go a day without seeing Benny. You know, Benny was just one of those
guys. You knocked out?
No, I didn't knock him out. But, so.
Guy you punched?
I mean.
Who went unconscious after your fist made contact?
Nah, he wasn't unconscious. He kicked my dog, and he shouldn't have kicked her twice. And then he took a swing at me, and I cracked him in the face. But that was 2005, 2006. Yeah, that was a long time ago. Benny and I, trust me, we drank a lot more. We made up.
Was he like a regular person? Not regular, but I mean, was he like a regular in the bars, or was he homeless?
He was homeless for a while, and then he took residence up with an artist in Fremont who let him stay in the bottom of her Craftsman, which was an in-law suite, and he basically took care of her as far as getting her groceries, doing any errands for her, she let him stay there free of charge, and she also would, part of this art program, would fly Benny to Hawaii.
Really? Right?
So the first time I'm ever in... I did not know this. Well, Benny had a place to stay there, apparently, by somebody else who's in the art group. I'm in downtown Lahaina, right near that tree, and I'm walking, and there's Benny stacking rocks in the park. And I'm like, Benny, what in the F are you doing here? And he's like, Miles, I live here in the summertime. And I'm like, I had no idea. He's like, yes, I have a place to stay. And I'm like, all right, we got to go get a beer. So where do we end up? The Bubba Gump Shrimp Company. All right. Now you think you're in Hawaii.
Traditional.
Right. Hawaiian
cuisine.
I'm at Bubba Gump, which was this building on the water right across from Fleetwood. It's a chain restaurant with plastic menus.
Right.
But you're sitting on the water. You know, it's gorgeous. And I'm like, I'm reading all this stuff, you know, about Forrest Gump, basically. And traditional, like one of the oldest towns in Maui.
Yeah.
I'm at the Bubba Gump Shrimp Company drinking beer with Benny from
the
Fremont.
The homeless dude in Fremont.
From Fremont, the stone stacker. It's just like, it was just a bizarre time. Mother Nature was to blame when that blank happened. 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Candy. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
My son-in-law is a dentist down in Orlando, and last year we went out and took us on a pontoon boat down this beautiful little waterway with the hot, you know, springs under the water. It was a beautiful day, and then he said, let's go scalloping. And so I guess normally it's only like 8 feet deep out here in the ocean part, and so we said, let's go, and got out there. It was too deep. The tide had changed or something, so we couldn't scallop. So half the boat decided to go out swimming. My son-in-law had his fins on and just left us three old ladies on the boat who knew nothing about the boat. and they started to try to swim in, and they couldn't. The tide was taking them straight out in the ocean. There was no nobody around, and we were just standing there thinking, you know, OMG. I tried to start the boat. I didn't know how to start the boat. It was anchored anyway. How would I have gone anywhere? It was anchored. So I'm revving, trying to start the boat, couldn't start it. And we realized, they're in terrible danger, and we're stuck there. And my daughter, who had the brain cell working that day, told her husband, she said, just leave us. He was trying out there trying to protect him, you know, as they're being dragged out to the ocean. And she said, just leave us and get to the boat. So he kept his fins on, and oh boy, what a struggle it was. I didn't know he was doing that. I'm in the boat still trying to start it. He finally gets to the boat, and I'm back there, still trying to start the boat. And I could have, if I had started it, I might have chewed him to death. But he got on the boat and started up and pulled it. Went out, we rescued everybody, and everybody just was on the boat in dead silence and horror. And then all of a sudden, this little black cloud we saw in the distance coming towards us, and it got faster and bigger, and we realized a huge thunderstorm was going to overtake us. So he turned the boat around, we started gunning it, and we were chased by lightning striking just all around the boat, huge bolts and being doused with rain. And then we got finally into the same little inland where it's beautiful, and the manatees and the sun is shining. So it was
Like nothing happened.
Yeah.
Well, it's a good thing. Number one, it's a good thing he had fins on, or he never would have been able to get back.
There's no way.
And, when wind comes, there's nothing more dangerous than you can do in the water than be on a pontoon boat. It's basically just a floating rectangle.
Yeah.
And when the wind hits it, man, it'll roll like dice. So they're dangerous down there. People do know that. They do have them. They're a little bit more inland most of the time on freshwater, not saltwater. But those boats are notorious for just kind of taking in the wall of wind and just turning those things over quick, because they don't weigh that much
right.
compared to a regular boat.
Candy, let me ask you this. You said that your daughter told your son-in-law, just leave us and get back to the boat.
Yes.
Are you sure she said that, or is that what he told you when he got back to the boat without your daughter?
No, that is what she did, and it saved everybody's life, because, believe me, we were screwed, all of us. We were screwed. It was the most terrifying near-death experience ever.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Hey, I'm going to Orlando in July. I won't be doing that.
I think they were closer to the ocean than Orlando. They had to be, if they were scalloping, they had to be closer
to the Atlantic. Yeah, good point. What?
To get ready for monster storms.
I know, dude, we're going in July. July 4th weekend. That's where we're going in Orlando.
Disney?
No. And here's the thing. So I've always been a hard ass about Disney with the kids, because when they were little, they would always ask. And I was real simple with it. Like, no. Fast forward a couple of years, we took them to Olive Garden. They decided they wanted to go to Olive Garden. Like, cool. So we get there. The hostess said, hey, guys, it's going to be like a 20-minute wait. So me and my wife are like, all right, cool. The kids are like, oh, my God, 20 minutes, blah, 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 blah. And I just looked at him and said, hey, you know when you guys bug me about going to Disney? If you can't take 20 minutes at goddamn Olive Garden in the air-conditioning, climate-controlled environment we're in, I'm not standing in line for hours with your asses when it's hot and humid. And they basically shut up at that moment. Like, do you understand? I'm not spending that kind of cash when you can't handle 20 minutes. So we did ask them this year, because I'm like, look, we're going for my son's volleyball. And I'm like, you guys know I don't want to go, but I will go, because this is as close as we're ever going to be to Disney World. So if you guys want to go, I will suck it up and I will go. And they're like, nah. Like, cool.
They don't want to go.
Oh, God, I'm so happy about that.
Like,
dude.
I've been to Disney World on July 4th, which is one of the busiest times, right? It's that and around Christmas.
Yeah.
But same thing. You're in Central Florida in the summertime.
So how brutal is it,
I don't know if
man?
It was every day, but almost it seemed like every day, same thing. By the afternoon, there would be torrential downpours, thunderstorms. Like,
I'm really trying to explain this to the kids. I'm like, guys, no, because they're not big heat fans. I'm like, it's worse than that. I'm like, with the humidity, I'm like, you guys are going to be miserable. I'm just trying to let you know.
Mother Nature was to blame when blank happened. 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, George. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So, for me, it would have been February of 2011. I was heading back to Afghanistan after my two-week, R&R leave in Southern California. So I had to fly through Dallas. It was the week before the Super Bowl that was there in 2011. and there was a freak snowstorm that hit. So I was stranded in Dallas, had to stay at the American Airlines hotel for 6 days, not being able to leave at all.
6 days?
And you can't leave the airport property at all?
I didn't have a car, and it was not close enough to the airport or close enough to anything. It was the American Airlines training center for their pilots and stewardesses. That's where they went to train.
What did you eat?
They had a cafeteria, but it was, you know, cafeteria food, nothing really great, but it was edible at least.
I guess it was better than the food in Afghanistan or no?
Well, it depends. Afghanistan had multiple defects. One of them was a Italian-ran defect, so they had pasta and great food every single day.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. All right. Food in Dallas, worse than Afghanistan. Who knew?
I know. That's quite a statement.
Coming up, the return of Who Sucks Less.
On the beat.
Yes, on the way at 4:30. And we get your emails coming up next in the men's room at KISW.com.